Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the Dante's Inferno that is upstate New York in this ridiculous heat wave. And for the next hour or so, and it will probably be longer, we will be bringing you our review of last night's Monday Night Raw and giving you our thoughts at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we even get started, two more serious things to talk about. One is that, in case people hadn't noticed, Ruby Riott was absent from last night's Raw. She suffered a leg injury at a house show, and she's being evaluated. We don't really have much further word on how severe the leg injury is. I guess they don't know themselves. Secondly, Bray Wyatt was involved in a head-on car collision that kept him off Monday Night Raw. We'll probably keep him off next week's Monday Night Raw. And though his condition is being described as he's fine, nothing's broken or anything, he was quite badly shaken up. His car was totaled. And the word is that he's having a little bit of a hard time remembering exactly what happened, which, you know, that could be concussion. So we'll keep you updated on the condition of Bray Wyatt. For now, he's fine as far as his health, but as far as getting back into the ring, we'll see if this does anything to the Extreme Rules match even coming up in a few weeks. We're not sure yet, which we're playing a waiting game with that. So best wishes, obviously, to Ruby Riott and obviously to Bray Wyatt, who always one of my favorites, and terrible, you know, to be involved in a car crash like that. He was the only one in the car, by the way, so there were no passengers or anything else. So let's get on to Raw, because I'm going to tell you that I have now reached the point where this is the last straw. This is it. If Raw cannot, and I've given them the benefit of the doubt, I've said, well, you know, a couple of things have happened. Let's see how they handle this. Let's see how they handle that. No, it's not very entertaining right now, but they're moving in a direction. Let's give them time to move in that direction. Let's see if they can put the pieces together. And I am now firmly convinced of the following things. They are either all, as far as the writing team is concerned, completely 100% inept, lazy, or worse, they simply do not care. Now, I'm telling you that last night's Raw was not just bad, because bad can be corrected. Once in a while, you're going to run into a bad show. It was self-destructive. I could hire a team of writers to destroy the characters on Monday Night Raw systematically, and they could not do a better job than the writers did last night of doing it themselves. I sat there, and for a moment, I honestly and truly said, is this a joke? Are they sabotaging? Are they intentionally sabotaging their own product? Do they want to be kicked off USA sooner? Is there a problem? because no one in their right mind does the things that this writing team has done, that the heads of the WWE have okayed and approved, unless you want to sink your own ship. Now, there's a lot of people say, oh, you know, Marcus, you're overreacting. No, no, actually, I'm not. We have waited 3 goddamn years for them to stubbornly say, Roman Reigns is going to be the man, and you're just going to have to accept it. Roman Reigns is the man. He's the man. He's a big dog. He's the man. He's the man. He's the one we're going to use. He's the big dog. You're going to have to accept it. And the fans have said, we really don't want to accept it. We don't like it. Show us something we might like and we might consider it, but right now we don't like it. Some fans have been flat out adamant that they'll never cheer for him. It's whatever it happens to be, it doesn't matter, fan-wise. For 3 years, we've been waiting for this. And now you are going to present us with this Roman Reigns. And the only thing I can think of is that there has got to be a heel turn coming, because if there isn't, then you certainly have destroyed Roman Reigns. You have certainly 100% destroyed Roman Reigns. I don't even like him anymore. And I was a big Roman Reigns fan. I'm like, oh, let's get this on with. I don't see why everybody's dissing him. Well, this Roman Reigns that you're presenting, this is insanity. So let's just start from the beginning. Roman Reigns opens Raw. Comes out and says, and I quote, I'm not saying they're not good and they got a great future ahead of them and they're very talented, but I would never envision myself losing to the Revival. Well, let's just examine that for a minute. The Revival are a professional tag team and that's what they do. You are not. You and Bobby Lashley are not. So logic would say, well, when you have a tag team that embedded with each other, you know, we underestimated them. We don't get along. We don't know each other. And I don't know if I can trust Lashley, and he don't know if he can trust me, and we lost. No, it's got to be, let's present Roman Reigns as this big egotistical, I can't believe I lost to guys who are that lame. Because that's exactly what you're saying. It's just, it's unbelievable. This is the actions of a face. Then out comes Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. And they say, you stuck your nose in our business or whatever, and they jump him. And of course, we wait for Seth Rollins to make the save, and indeed we do. And we get to a segment backstage where Rollins and Reigns are demanding a match with Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, which would make more sense had Roman Reigns said what I said. It's not like, you know, I know anything about Bobby Lashley. It's not like, you know, whatever. I can't trust him, but I can trust my Shield brother, and we'll take on anybody. No. Roman Reigns has to say, I can't believe I lost to those lame-os, because that'll endear you to the crowd. Great line, whoever wrote that. Just sensational. Sensational. Great way to push him. And Kurt Angle says, well, gee, I don't know, Roman. All of a sudden, he's become the guy from Leave It to Beaver. Geez, I don't know. You already have a match. Really? You're already teaming with Bobby Lashley to go against the Revival again? This is the 3rd week in a row. Do you honestly think people want to see the same match for a month? The Revival has done exactly 0 for the whole entire goddamn time that they were there, and now all of a sudden you're going to make them, oh, they're in the central storyline of the main events of Raw. Why? And then we get the answer, well, I can still have 2 matches. I mean, I could do both matches. Oh, great, because that's sensational, because now we're going to get to see Roman Reigns twice. How many segments did Roman Reigns have last night? Because that's a way to endear him to the crowd. Just really shove him down the throat. Oh, you don't like him too much? Yeah, just really shove him down your throat now. Let's put him in 2 matches. and give him a two or three times when he's got a spot. So now the crowd knows what they're getting. They're getting Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley, and they're getting Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins in two separate tag team matches. Two separate ones. Mike, I can't think of a worse way to start off Raw. I mean, it boggles my mind.
Yeah, it really does. And look, we talked when they went to Saudi Arabia about the morale after that show. Is there any doubt that because of the writing, how low the morale must be backstage? It's not just the Roman Reigns thing. I mean, if I'm Roman Reigns, I'm looking at what they're giving me, and I'm throwing my hands in the air. You know, if you don't turn me now, what am I gonna do? You know,
if he's got to go out there and deliver lines like that, I just don't know. So now, through no fault of his own, Bray Wyatt can't be there. So Matt Hardy comes out, and for the third week in a row again, we get the now no longer funny because you've overplayed it, B team giving us their impression of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy. You played it to death. It was funny once. It was pretty cool the second time. I don't want to see it 19 more times. And we're told we're going to have a solo match, which probably was going to be Bray's in all fairness, but Matt Hardy had to take it over. Well, this wasn't a match. I don't even know what the hell it was. See, when I watch Raw, I think to myself, what if I'm sitting in my house. I could shut the son of a bitch off. I could go walk to the refrigerator. I could play cards. I could, you know, multitask. But if I paid $150 in parking and everything else to be there, what am I thinking right now? And I'm thinking to myself, we got Roman Reigns in both main events. And apparently we got a 2-minute match with Curtis Axel and Matt Hardy, where once again, Matt Hardy loses, making the tag team champions look just inept. Because once again, what has Curtis Axel done or Bo Dallas done now that they've just changed their name to the B team? All of a sudden they're good. I'm not saying that he has to lose, but what I'm saying is, could something break out? Could we have some kind of a fire underneath this feud? Because this feud sucks. We've seen exactly zero of Matt Hardy's personality of this broken thing, other than him just going, oh, like a donkey on acid. And Bray Wyatt try to look mean. That's what we've done. And the B team making fun of them. That's it. That's the whole buildup to the feud. That's it. There hasn't been a brawl. There hasn't been any, now I'm really mad. Now the joke's over. Now none of this Hardy compound. Nothing. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's horrible. Nobody cares about this feud. Nobody cares about this feud. And you could have had something with the B team. But you chose to do it in the wrong way. So Raw starts off with this ridiculous Roman Reigns deal. And then we jump straight into a match that really isn't even a match, Todd. I mean, what is it, 2 minutes?
You're absolutely right there. It was like a 2-minute match. It wasn't even a match. It was just a stupid segment of a brawl. And, like, you know, it was funny the first two times we're doing the impersonation of the leader of worlds the B team is doing. Now it's like, now this is turning in, like, this is not funny anymore. It's getting ridiculous.
It's just getting silly. So that's a non-match. So if you're sitting in that audience and you paid decent money, you say, well, that really wasn't a match. I mean, that was just whatever. But wait, the worst is yet to come. We are told that, well, you know what I should say? And I forgot about this. What in the blue hell was up with the beginning of Raw when they actually had a commentator, not even one of the commentators they paid? It's like a movie. Tweaks Raw, the big dog was attacked, and he... What? you're recapping it now with a voiceover from some goddamn guy who normally does movie trailers? Last week on Raw, the big dog Roman Reigns was attacked. His lifelong friend Seth Rollins, what the hell are you talking about? Holy God, is that bad? Who okayed that? It's like watching a satire of professional wrestling. The minute I heard that, I said, what in the hell? Mike, have you ever heard anything worse than that in your life? I mean, that was pathetic.
You know, it's almost as if we went back 40 years and we're watching Glow. You know? That's what it is. I mean, think about it. I mean, ask me this question. What was Glow? You know?
It's a satire of wrestling, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like, and I agree with you. What the hell was that? I mean, if you're going to do that, I don't know who the hell that voice belongs to. If you're going to do that, give us Jim Ross. Give us Jerry Lawler.
Yes.
Give us somebody that we know if you're going to do that.
Yes, I agree. If Michael Cole had just said, last week on Raw, we saw, you know, Seth Rollins attacked by whatever. But no, they wrote it like it was a script to a movie. It wasn't just, you know, folks, last week on Raw, Seth Rollins was attacked and Roman Reigns had to come to his – no. They weren't recapping it like a – you know what that would be like? That would be like tuning in to see the second game of a three-game series with your favorite baseball team and having a voiceover announcer that isn't your baseball team's announcer say, on last night's game, the undefeatable pitcher so-and-so was not up to his game. He was pounded by the monstrous offense of the... No one's going to do that. God damn. Who thought of that? That's not just awful. That is inexcusably bad. Inexcusably bad. Anyway, now we get to Bailey and Sasha. We didn't know that Sasha was also going to have to go to anger management. So here's the thing. Bailey almost killed Sasha last week. And then Sasha walks up to her and says, you're here too. Is that what you would do? I'm going to ask you a question. If your friend... 2 weeks in a row now. First you attacked your friend, and then your friend attacked you and beat the hell out of you and blindsided you. And you see him at the doctor's office. Are you going to say, are you here too? I was told I have to be. Come on, folks. Come on. And then who is it but the same doctor from the stupid Team Hell No thing? And he comes out with his stupid overacting and says, oh, hello, everybody. I told you it was going to happen. I told you what they were going to do, and I was right. Turn this whole damn thing into a joke. Because, of course, it's so funny. It's so funny that two girls are mad at each other, and a friendship has broken up. So let's make it a goofy screwball situation comedy starring Bailey and Sasha and Dr. Whatever his name is, who can make weird faces at the camera. Thank you. Thank you very much. Because now you've killed this feud. You've destroyed it. You've buried it. You've shit it out over a cliff. That's what you've done to this. And you exposed the weakness of both Bailey and Sasha, and that is they're not really great promo people. Because when it came time for Bailey and Sasha to do like imitations of each other, they didn't imitate what the problem was. Sasha didn't say, oh, I'm Bailey, and, you know, because I can't fight my own battles, I have to hang around Sasha, and Sasha has to put her own career on hold for me because she's my friend, and I say nice things about her, so Sasha has to put her own career on hold, and Sasha should never do anything that's going to interrupt my career. That would have been at least, okay, I see where Sasha's coming from. She thinks Bailey's a hanger-on. But no, she just goes, hey, I'm Bailey, and I act like I'm five, and I like to hug. They didn't say mimic. He didn't say, could you please do an imitation? He didn't say that at all. That's not what this is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be getting out why you don't like the other person anymore. Was Bayley different than that when she was your friend? And then Bayley does the same thing. It's just, it's beyond bad. It's beyond bad. I'm telling you, it's almost like they're purposely sabotaging people. It's almost like they said, how do we make everybody just give up on Roman Reigns? I know. We'll have him come out and complain every goddamn week about everything. I'm waiting for him to come out and say, my dressing room is too hot and there's nothing back there that I like to drink and I don't like this arena that much and the car that they gave me to drive isn't so good. How much more? Do you think this is the way that you are supposed to promote someone to make them the top face in this company? Is that what you think? You know what it is? It's that every single person, whether it be media, whether it be hangers-on in the WWE, whether it be top-level people, kiss everybody's ass and say, oh, yes, that's brilliant. Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Because I guess everybody's afraid to just say, you are sucking the joint up. Well, I'm not. I'd love to come in there and slap the friggin' taste out of the mouth of anybody who thought that was a good idea. And I want them to tell me why they think it's a good idea. What does it do? Does it promote Sasha and Bayley's feud as being an intense rivalry between two girls who hate each other? Or does it make it a situation comedy? Does Roman Reigns whining all the time? Did you see Steve Austin doing that? Did Stone Cold do that and say, oh, I don't know, I really should be the champion, and I don't like this guy, and why do I have to team? What are we doing here? What are we doing here? Explain to me how that's good for Roman Reigns, and then you explain to me how this is good for Bayley and Sasha. You're inept, but worse than inept, you're indifferent. You don't care. And I'll tell you why you don't care, because you signed your big, fat, goddamn contract with for the new TV series, for the new TV season. You got the big Fox Sports contract, and you just don't give one damn. You just don't give one damn. Fans are no longer the primary source of income for the WWE. As crazy as that sounds. And now they just don't give a damn. Mike, this had to be one of the worst segments I've ever seen, because it's just self-destructive to the whole entire Bayley and Sasha feud.
You know, this Is Your Life Bayley look like Oscar-winning material. You know, that's how bad this is. I mean, this isn't even as good as the movie Anger Management. You know, what's his name, Billy Madison and.
Sandler,
and the Joker from Batman. Those two guys were being passive aggressive. It would have been fine if one of the two girls was passive aggressive. Basically, Bayley was maybe being passive aggressive, you know. But there was nothing of that in this thing. They're just playing this for comedy, and I don't get it. They could have had something here, but they. Like you said, they shit it over a cliff.
Mike, Derek reminded me the guy's name is Dr. Shelby. I'm trying to mentally block it out. I'm trying to mentally block out I ever saw it. It's just exactly what that feud didn't need. You had started to make it bitter. Last week, Bayley really did put what looked like a beatdown on Sasha. To the point where we're saying, all right, well, that was pretty severe. Now what we need to do is keep that momentum going. And I don't care which way it goes. I don't care if Bayley says, I don't know what came over me. I think like all of my aggression just found its way out. And it scares me that kind of person's inside me. Because then at least we say, oh, well, let's see it, but it is inside her. And that could come out on anybody she fights. Or if Bayley suddenly says, hey, I like this new me. And I'm going to start beating everybody's ass like that. Or Sasha comes off as being the heel and says, you know, how dare you put your hand. It doesn't matter. We could have had something. Instead, let's put Dr. Shelby in. So he can overact for the camera and say, oh, no, Look what? Oh my, like the kid from Home Alone. Let me put both of my hands over my mouth. Sasha and Bailey are arguing. I can't take it. I can't take it. I guess I'm no longer a Raw fan because I don't give one single goddamn about anybody on this roster anymore. I just don't know what more to say because that's exactly the way I feel. So we get the Authors of Pain and they come out and they're going to fight Titus Worldwide. And that is basically a glorified squash match. So let's see what the audience has been treated to so far. A 2-minute match with Matt Hardy against Curtis Axel. That'll sell out WrestleMania. And a 2-minute match with the Authors of Pain and Titus Worldwide. Now, I understand they're trying to make the Authors of Pain look tough. I don't know why they're trying to make the Authors of Pain look tough, because there is no one in this federation tag team-wise that's tough. So who are you setting them up for? The B squad? The B team? I don't know. I mean, look, it was a match. There's nothing wrong with it per se, except that nobody gives a damn one way or the other, Mike, about either one.
Right, and that's the thing. Nobody gives a damn, and you're right. This is getting to the point of we're bored. This is gonna at some point one of these crowds is gonna start chanting whatever CM Punk or whatever because they're flat out bored. That's what happens when you get a bored crowd. That when your crowd starting to get bored, they're starting to pump. Do stuff like CM Punk. They don't care that they're insulting the other wrestlers. That's what they do, you know. And this was a two minute match, poor promo. And a poor skit. That's what they got.
They got nothing. They got nothing. So the Authors of Pain look dominant, Todd, but who are they looking dominant for? I mean, who are we supposed to be anticipating them fighting?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure who
that's exactly what I said. If you're going to build somebody up, the idea is when somebody comes in, let's say you got a face, and that face is a badass. He's Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he's just a badass. And then you introduce a badass heel who says, I ain't take no shit from nobody, and I can kick people's ass. And you're like, well, he's going to have to come up against Austin, and that's going to be good. You anticipate it. Or if he's a technician like an AJ Styles, and then you bring in like an Almas, and he says, look, I'm just as technically gifted or whatever, and you say, oh, well, this is going to be some match when they fight. There's a psychological buildup to making the crowd say, oh, I see where this is going. They're going to eventually have to fight this one. I don't see that with the Authors of Pain. I don't know who the hell they're going to fight. The B team, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Does it matter? No. And that's the problem. Nothing on Raw matters. Nothing on Raw matters. You don't even have a champion. And the champion you do have is too busy being in tag team matches. Whether it's Seth Rollins or Dolph Ziggler. Tag team matches. So that leads us to the first of the big matches, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins against Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. That's a good match. At least the fans got something out of this match. I don't really have a problem with the match. And I thought it was pretty well booked in the sense that the crowd was chanting, we want Roman, because, of course, Seth is in trouble and he can't make that tag. But then the other half chant, no, we don't. But they still worked it pretty good to the point where people were like, all right, already, tag Roman. You know, this is ridiculous. Seth is really getting his clock clean. He needs to tag. And then here come the revival. And this match ends in a disqualification victory for Roman and Seth. Why in the world Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler would not be upset about this, I don't know. But they're not. They just help the beatdown. And I say to myself, well, they're going to be clever here. Lashley's going to come out and chase everybody off. and there's going to be that tense moment between Lashley and Roman and maybe even Seth. Nope, they don't do that. Just no, that's it. That's let's not overbook it. Lord knows we've given the crowd enough tonight for their money. So while it was an okay match, Mike, I think they missed some opportunities.
They missed some opportunities. I mean, we've gotten on them for overbooking some Raws recently, but that's not the case here. I mean, at least with that 2-minute match with Titus Worldwide, we finally, after a while, got to see Dana Brooke back with him. You know, I mean, that was my question the last month or so. Where's Dana Brooke then? You know, because she's a big part of that whole thing with Titus Worldwide. Now, we got her back this week, but again, it doesn't matter because it was a walkthrough for them. And again, we get what we got out of this match. I would have loved to have seen it actually go to a finish because those four guys seem to work well together and seem to have a flow about their match, you know.
Look, you got four very talented workers in that match. The problem wasn't the match. It wasn't even really the way the match was booked. It would have been okay if you did one of two things. Either you have McIntyre and Ziggler get mad and destroy all four of them. Because, hey, you cost us the match after all. Or you have McIntyre and Ziggler not care and say, hey, whatever, let's all beat on them. And then Lashley has to come out, though. If Lashley's I'm Mr. Squeaky Clean, then he's got to come out and say, this is bull. And I don't want my tag team partner injured for later on tonight. But he didn't. So it makes no sense, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It does not make sense. They should have Lashley come out during after that match with them in the revival. You know, like you said, he should have came out there to save his partner before his second main event.
Yeah, because I mean that's his partner for later tonight. Anyway, Derek in the chat room is saying, you know, are they going to have to do something radical? Are they going to have to bring back or try to bring back a big name, a CM Punk or whatever? It doesn't matter what they do. You can't fix something if you can't write. You can't give a kindergartner a crayon and say, please write me War and Peace, because it won't happen. And these people have no idea. Here's the problem. You want the problem in a nutshell? I'll tell you what the problem is in a nutshell. There's not one writer back there, and I don't care if it's Michael P.S. Hayes. I don't care who the fuck it is. There's not one writer back there who understands what these characters are about or their motivations. There's not one. There's not one writer who says, I have to put myself in that character's place. Who is this character? What would they do? Their motivations change week to week. That's the problem. And we were just like, well, I don't know. I don't really think that's the way they would react. And we're lost. We're just lost. We're lost. I'm telling you right now, what I saw last night proves to me that WWE Raw, at least, is lost. And I don't know if they can recover. I really don't. And we then see a backstage segment with Elias because, of course, it would be too much for Elias to actually get in the ring and do something where fans could see him. He hasn't been around for 2 weeks or so, and I don't know why. I don't know whether he's sick. I don't know whether he's injured. I don't know whether they don't care about him anymore. I know he's losing momentum quickly. And if he can sing backstage, he certainly can walk his ass out there and sing in front of the crowd. But let's not give the crowd that. It's more important to see Elias backstage just singing for no reason, because, of course, you just show up to an arena and you don't wrestle nobody. You just find a comfortable spot and sing. And the Riot Squad, minus Ruby Riot, comes by and listens to the song for a minute before they start wrecking stuff. And then we're told we're going to get a solo match with Ember Moon against Liv Morgan. And we know where that's going, folks. Not her credit. Liv Morgan got a lot of offense, but Riot Squad's going nowhere. They don't win. And now that Ruby Riot's hurt, and maybe she's out for longer than we think, We don't have a women's division. Who are we kidding? You know, in an ironic bit of irony, as, you know, not to be redundant, Nia Jax pretty much said the truth. She comes out and says, we're right back to square one. We're right back to where we were before WrestleMania. This is never ends. And I'm thinking the same thing. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, finally somebody said it. You're right, it never ends. Because you can't find anybody else, because you haven't promoted anybody else. And the one I feel the most sorry for is Natty, and I'll tell you why. Natty is probably one of the two or three best overall workers in the WWE Women's Division. But God bless her. She has no personality. She just has none. She is dry as toast. And nobody's popping for her. And it's like, I didn't come alone. I brought Natty. And Natty comes out and tries so hard to be like heroic. And everybody's like, whatever. Jesus Christ, it's Natty. I actually said that out loud. When she said, I didn't come alone, I'm like, oh, Jesus, now we're going to get Natty. And that's what we got. So anyway, Liv Morgan loses to Ember Moon in a match where everybody's just like, whatever, Mike. And again, why should we care?
Why should we care? And look, we've said it, both of those two girls, both Liv Morgan and the other one, both have a personality. Both have two different personalities. I know they don't want to split them up. You know, I know they're trying not to, but we know what Sarah Logan can be, and we know what Liv Morgan can be. They got to do something with these two girls, you know, that, I mean, we've said it before. If they're going to have that group just lose, then why have that group, you know, at all? You know, just split them up. And
is it beyond the realm of possibility that you could have just had that match? Every other match on this show that meant anything was either a disqualification or a count out. Could it have possibly entered your mind that Sarah Logan just jumps in and they both put the beat down on Ember Moon? Yes, they're disqualified, but Ember Moon is, you know, limps back to the dressing room and you're like, well, there's a storyline here. Now it's going to be Ember Moon against the Riot Squad because they just put the beat down on her. No, it's just like, no, you just get squashed like a bug. And then when you come in to try to help, I'll throw you out too. And it's just, I don't know. There's nothing exciting about this women's division anymore, Todd.
You're absolutely right. It's not something like exciting like it used to be in the Raw women's division. Like you said, it's not going anywhere.
And here's the worst part of all. They have to have an interview with Ronda Rousey who says, I was suspended from Raw, but I was not suspended from Extreme Rules. So I'll be there. I'll buy a ticket, and I'll sit in the front row. You know why they had to say that? So people would think, oh, well, Ronda Rousey's going to be at Extreme Rules, because if she wasn't, nobody's going to give a damn. They honestly feel that if Ronda Rousey's not at Extreme Rules, you won't watch. That's how much faith they have in all the matches they have in Extreme Rules, that if Ronda Rousey isn't there, it's not worth watching. No, it's not worth watching because you've built up nothing. That's why it's not worth watching, because you couldn't be bothered to give us a compelling storyline to a few of these matches going into it. It's too much work. It's just unbelievable to me. This is really the straw that broke the camel's back to me, because I always say it's fixable. I'm not sure this is fixable. So then we get the second Roman Reigns appearance of the night as Bobby Lashley, who is Mr. Personality personified. And Roman Reigns, once again, fight the Revival. And because Roman is supposed to be such a good guy, such a face, he refuses, like a spoiled brat, to make the tag. No, I won't make the tag. I want to beat him all by myself because I was humiliated by being beaten up by nobodies last week. Yeah, that'll put him over as a real face. Explain to me the psychology of that, please. Somebody please explain to me the psychology of this. Is this what a face has become in our modern times now? Have we lost our way that much that the people we admire and look up to are whiny, sniveling little brats who, if they don't get their way, throw a temper tantrum? The heroic now? You would have been much better off. Much better off. And it wouldn't have really turned Lashley bad or heel. You would have been much better off if Roman Reigns went to make the tag and Lashley refused it and said, hey, you said you could beat him by yourself. Do it. I have no interest. Then at least we would have had a clear person we could have rooted for and said, well, poor Roman, you know, he might have said something he didn't mean. And at the end of the day, he did try to make the tag, and stupid ass Lashley don't want to make the tag. No, they don't want to do that. So instead, once again, they win by disqualification. They can't even beat the Revival. Lashley doesn't even get in the match. He gets in the match and just slams people, and the referee doesn't disqualify him. So I don't know what that was all about. And then he just walks away and leaves him to beat on Roman Reigns because who cares, right? Who cares? I don't. I know that. Mike, again, it's not that it was a bad match. It's just that I don't understand why we're supposed to look at Roman Reigns as a heroic figure when all he does is whine and complain and refuse to do things logically, and it just seems like a spoiled brat.
I guess not. And again, I'll say it here, you know, that they're going about ruining Roman Reigns to the point of at some point Roman Reigns should go back to the back and say, look, you either cut me loose or whatever, because you're not doing me right. And they're really not doing Roman Reigns right. I mean, we've said it before. He should have been turned heel long ago when people cared about it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, people are starting not to care about Roman Reigns. And
Mike, I'm going to take it one step farther than you. You're saying they're starting to ruin Roman Reigns. I think they've ruined Roman Reigns. I don't think there's anything you can do with him, even if you turn him heel. I think you've ruined him. And in a shocking bit of honesty, you can find online an interview with Daniel Bryan, where Daniel Bryan was asked a very honest question. Are they going to set you up to fight The Miz for a big match for WrestleMania? And Daniel Bryan looks dead at the camera, laughs, and says, I'd love that. I think we could work a really good match together, and I think we could have a lot of fun on the build-up. But do you honestly trust the WWE to tell a story for that length of period of time without ruining it? That's what he said. Do you honestly trust the WWE writers to be able to tell that story all the way up to WrestleMania without ruining it? So even the talent knows it. Even the talent knows it. And then he doubled back down again and said, look, I'd love to do it. We'd have a great match. The storylines, the things we could bounce back off of each other, we would totally be able to sell this. But the WWE doesn't want to tell long stories. They want me to go punch The Miz in the face right away, probably. So I don't see this being a WrestleMania match because they couldn't possibly handle a story this long without ruining it. That's Daniel Bryan's personal opinion of WWE writing. And that's a man who works for them. Let that sink in for a minute. We'd love to do it, but WWE writers couldn't handle it. Great. Fantastic. So at least we know where we stand. That's awful. So anyway, Nia Jax defeats Mickie James in a match that absolutely no one cares about. And I mean absolutely no one cares about. You've ruined Alexa Bliss too. Congratulations. Alexa Bliss was hotter than hot. Alexa Bliss was a red hot coal in the fire. People either loved her or hated her, but boy, they didn't ignore her. And she was gold on the mic. She was good in the ring. She was an aggravating factor to all of the females and helped elevate them when she feuded with them. And now she is nothing. I don't care if she's the champion. She's nothing. Fans don't react to her the same way. You know why? They are bored. Because nothing different's coming down the pike for her. You're not letting her do things that she normally did. You're not telling any stories with her. She's just out there to you know, parade around and say, I'm better than you. You're not utilizing her properly. And so because you're not utilizing her properly, we have grown tired of it. Not her fault. Your fault. Derek's asking if I'll post that Daniel Bryan thing on the website. Yes, I will. Give me a little time. I won't be able to do it for probably a few hours, but I will. And you will be shocked. You'll be shocked and sickened. And let me tell you something. I'm not the world's biggest Daniel Bryan fan. There are things about Daniel Bryan that annoy me. I think he's a great wrestler. But sometimes his personality rubs me the wrong way. But the personality I saw here in a very candid interview did not rub me the wrong way. He came off as a very likable guy who says, look, I know the wrestling fans aren't getting what they want. I'm not stupid. I'm a wrestling fan. But what I'm telling you is we don't have any control over it, and you can't possibly think that the WWE, given their track record, is going to be able to run with these ideas. That's what he's saying. He's very candid. It's very honest and very refreshing that somebody would just say, look, if they want to fire me over this, fire me. I don't care. It's ridiculous. How'd you like to go to work when you have that much faith in your company, eh? So let's talk about Alexa Bliss for a minute, Mike, because you can see that she doesn't have the impact she once did, even though they put that belt back on her.
Yeah, you can see that. And again, I mean, she don't even have the impact she did when she won the briefcase. You know, that was an impact there. Now,
yep.
You know, I guarantee. And back to this one thing about the Daniel Bryan interview. I mean, what must the Miz be thinking right now? I know he's got his show coming up, but he did some yeoman's work on that one talking smack when he went to Daniel Bryan that day, you know, and that got us excited for something that probably isn't going to be as good as it should be, and basically Bryan said it, and that's filtered now. Will it filter down to the W to SmackDown? We got to see tonight, you know. Oh, we're getting to the point.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. Again, Daniel Bryan's talking about the writers of SmackDown. He doesn't have even that much faith in them. Can you imagine the Raw roster? So now let's get to the ultimate in nonsense. Kevin Owens backstage, all episode long, saying, I'll clean your office, Kurt. I'll babysit your children. I'll get you free tickets to the Shania Twain concert. Please don't make me fight Braun Strowman. I don't know what to say. And then he has a t-shirt that says, fight anyone. Remember when Kevin Owens came in and his attitude was, I don't give a damn who you are. I'm a prize fighter. I'll take on anybody if the price is right. And I don't give a damn about how tough or how big or how mean you are. Remember that guy? Now he's a comedy act. Now he's Abbott and Costello. I guess he's Costello. Oh, no, I have to fight Braun. What will I do? Maybe I can disguise myself as the mailman and sneak out in the mail truck. I mean, come on! I've had enough! If he's a goddamn professional wrestler, then he should say, look, I know the Braun Strowman stuff, and I'm dead afraid of him, but I got a plan. Wasn't Kevin Owens always the guy with a plan? And then we go backstage. And Kevin Owens is literally standing next to Jinder Mahal and the Singh brother while they're chanting some kind of mantra or whatever the hell it is to try to ease your conscious spirit. I don't even know what the hell it is. Way to just throw Jinder Mahal to the wolves, too. Let's not show Jinder Mahal for a few weeks, too. What do we care about him for? I guess he's going back to the Man of Peace thing that worked so well before he was the champion. Boy, that worked well, didn't it? Let's go back to it. It worked so well, let's go back to it. While we're at it, let's make Bo Dallas go back to the Bo Leave and everything. Let's go back to that because that works so well. What is there to say? And then Braun Strowman, who's supposed to be your big guy. This is the guy. This is the guy you're putting all the eggs in the basket of. This is the guy you have promoted for 2 years. You have absolutely protected for 2 years. You've made him. This is the man that everybody, when he comes out, everybody says, here it comes. Here comes Braun Strowman. Nobody cares anymore. He's gotten old that quick because you have booked him ridiculous. Let me get this straight. Braun Strowman is the face that we're supposed to cheer for, and Kevin Owens is the heel that we're supposed to hate. Kevin Owens extends his hand of friendship and says, look, I know I can't beat you. Can we just be friends? Braun Strowman beats his ass raw. Braun Strowman then says, you know, maybe I was wrong about Kevin Owens. I'm going to give him another chance. And I think to myself, well, this is where Owens stabs him in the back, and we get to feel sorry for Braun, who, you know, showed a little bit of humanity and said, maybe I went too far. No, he stabs him in the back. Braun stabs him in the back. And for no reason, wrecks his car. No reason. Just because I want to be a bully. I want to pick on you because you're afraid of me. And then he does it again this week. Oh, I know you're afraid of me. I've already thrown you off a ladder. I've tipped your car over. I've harassed you at your workplace to the point where apparently you're afraid to come to work. And now I'm going to harass you some more because I'm a hero. And you're a villain. I would go into that writer's meeting and I would fire every last one of those morons who do not understand the basic principles of professional wrestling, much less what fans want to see. You're destroying Braun Strowman. I thought he was the one guy you really couldn't destroy, but now you're managing. So on one episode, you've destroyed Roman Reigns. You've destroyed Bobby Lashley in more than one episode. You've destroyed Bayley and Sasha's feud, completely destroyed it. Jinder Mahal's on his way to being destroyed, if not totally destroyed. Oh, and by the way, you threw in Mojo Rawley, who is really good at what he does, and I'm really happy to see he's being used. But can we please have him not fight No Way Jose? I know what this is going to be. It's going to be the warm-up match for Extreme Rules. Like, I really want to see this. Can we please have him move on? You've destroyed the B team. You've already destroyed Bray Wyatt. Now you've destroyed Matt Hardy. Alexa Bliss is on her way to being destroyed, and nobody cares about Natty. There's like a handful of people care about in this company. Seth Rollins is one. I'm trying to think of another one. Maybe Elias, but you don't show him. So let's not put Elias out there because people care about him. So let's hold him back for 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. He's got some momentum. Let's stop his momentum. I don't know. So Kevin Owens gets in the ring, and within 30 seconds, he runs out of the ring and decides, I'm just going to run to my car. But again, he's forgotten his keys because, of course, Kevin Owens is a complete moron. He knows, in fact, that he's going to run away from the match, and he knows exactly where he's going to flee to, but he doesn't have his keys handy because he's a moron. So he hides in a porta potty with the camera focusing right on the porta potty. And the whole crowd chanting porta potty when Braun Strowman is looking for him, but Braun isn't smart enough to figure out that, well, the camera's focusing right on the porta potty and the crowd is chanting porta potty, but I have no idea what that means. Is there a new wrestler here named porta potty that I don't know? But then he discovers him. And instead of making it look like He drug him out a door that's reasonably close. They have Braun Strowman literally drag this porta potty, oh, I don't know, a mile and a half. And they didn't clear the path for him, so everything's fallen down. The porta potty will barely fit through the doors. Strowman's looking annoyed with the whole segment because how far do I have to drag this freaking thing? By the way, this is supposed to be your main event. It's supposed to be a fight. There's no fight. He finally brings it out so at least the crowd can see what's happening. And I guess they've just come to watch a movie on the Titantron. But finally drags him out on stage. And then just tips him off the stage, which he could have done anywhere in that whole arena. So why he chose to bring him to the front of the... Again, illogical. And now, if this isn't bad enough, the first thing you think of with Kevin Owens in the porta potty is, oh my God, they don't empty those things until the end of the night, so there's going to be a lot of human waste in there. Well, apparently only aliens use the porta potty because everything that's on Kevin Owens when they take him out is blue. So apparently Oompa Loompas have been taking a crap in there. Because everything is blue, because God forbid we show anything that looks like feces, because then, oh God, that'll cause an uproar. I have never in my lifetime seen a worse Raw than this. And I mean it sincerely. This is it. This is the straw that broke the camel's back for me. I don't give a damn about anybody on Raw anymore. And Mike, this had to be one of the most ridiculously self-destructive segments I've ever seen.
Yeah, it had to be. And look, I mean, and I get when he first arrives at the thing and the guy says, you can't park here. And he's parked by the porta potty. All right. Now, I get why they say that. But again, if I'm Kevin Owens, I'm saying, and they didn't write this, but I would have had him say, look, I'm trying to protect my car from being tipped over by this guy so I can get out of here when I need to get out of here. So you're not going to tell me what I can and cannot park.
You know what I thought was going to happen? I thought Kevin Owens, when he ran back and everybody was saying, don't hesitate, Kevin. Why are you hesitating? Get out of there. I thought he set a trap. I said, Braun Strowman's going to come around that corner and Kevin Owens set a trap. And that'll be okay if that happens. No, not at all, because Kevin Owens is too dumb to just run across the street into the safety of the crowd, right? I'll just sit in the porta potty. And then answer when somebody knocks on the door, is anybody in here? Yeah, because that's what Braun Strowman would do. Instead of just tear the door off the porta potty. The whole show is a porta potty. You know, it's very, very apropos that it ended with Kevin Owens covered in blue shit, because that's exactly what this whole entire episode felt like. A great big tipped over porta potty filled with blue shit. That's what it felt like. I don't know what's going on with the WWE. Maybe I'm not a fan anymore. I don't know. I'm a fan of wrestling. I know that. But I'm not seeing anything that I can hang my hat on. I'm not seeing one feud. I'm not seeing one storyline. I'm not even seeing one character that I can say to myself, yeah, I'd like to tune in to see what happens to him. Now, Derek's saying he's going to give me the answers the 4th of July and people are watching fireworks and stuff. I don't buy that. I'll tell you why I don't buy it. It's a Monday night, man. People were watching the fireworks Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Wednesday is the 4th of July. So I don't buy that. People were watching. They just didn't care. They just don't care. And besides that, what's the difference? Whether anybody's watching or not, they'll catch up to it. Some people DVR it. So even if nobody's watching right then and there, is it possible that you could put on a good show so that when we DVR it later, we're like, wow, that was a good show? No, it's just like everybody just do what – I don't even know what the hell went on last night. But if you're in that audience, here's what you saw. You saw no match with Matt Hardy and Curtis Axel. That was 2 seconds and gone. You saw no match really with No Way Jose and Mojo. So that's gone. The three main event matches that you have, both Roman Reigns matches and apparently Braun Strowman and Kevin Owens, it wasn't a match at all. All three of them ended with either disqualifications or count out. There was no Jinder Mahal, no Elias. I don't know. I don't know, no Bobby Roode. I don't know what to tell you. I know Roode's over in the other one. That's how much I care. There's literally nothing and no one to root for over there. Let's go through them just one at a time. Roman Reigns, give me the reason you're rooting for him. Because he's a crybaby who's still saying, I should have the title, because he's a whiny brat who says, I want to pin both guys by myself to prove I can do it. No. Bobby Lashley, who just comes out with his eyes bugged out of his head like he's going to burst any moment, like he's a cartoon character from Bugs Bunny. He's so jacked up that his eyes are popping out like Grumpy Cat, and he's just kind of, I don't even know what to say. There's no reason to root for him. Matt Hardy, who we're told he's going to do the broken thing, really? And when have we seen any of that? Not that I like it, but some fans do. Well, when have we seen any of that? We haven't. The B team, who's now relegated to just making fun of other people. Who are we supposed to root for here besides Seth Rollins, maybe? Finn? Let's talk about that for a minute. Finn Balor and Baron Corbin get into the ring and literally, like two little kids in fourth grade, I'm tall and bigger than you. Well, you're bald. Yeah, but you're short. Well, you dress funny. Oh, my God. I don't know. Mike, this is not professional wrestling. I don't know what the fuck this is.
Right. I mean, it's to the point of, you know, I'd rather watch SmackDown, even though it may or may not be better. And I definitely make it a point to watch NXT, because that's much, much better, you know. And that's the case. And this is, I can't even give it an F minus. I mean, that's how bad this thing is. This is one of those rare weeks where it's going to be an incomplete, because that's exactly what it is.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm ready to give it a grade, and I'll tell you what the grade is. Port-a-potty, that's what the grade is, because that's where this thing belonged, in the port-a-potty with Kevin Owens. You can't even get a good heel. That's the thing. I'm saying, who do we have to root for? Who do we have to boo? Kevin Owens, who we were all identifying with as a great, big, scary, monstrous guy, is stalking him and won't leave him alone, but he's the bad guy. Jinder Mahal, who's backstage preaching peace, but he's the bad guy. Elias, who's entertaining and one of the only things on Raw that's worth watching, but he's the bad guy. Baron Corbin, who could very well shoot to the top as a bad guy, relegated to, I thought we were watching Big Cass and Daniel Bryan again. I'm tall. You can't beat me because you're short and I'm tall. Well, you're bald. Well, you're a moron. Well, you dress funny. Oh, my God. This is what we deserve as fans. This is what the WWE thinks you deserve as fans. This is what they think you deserve. Someone went out there and said, this is a good show. We looked at it on paper. We okayed all this, and this is good. The fans will be highly entertained by this. And you're going to tell me that you think the WWE is in touch with their fans? We have a serious problem here. Because while I'm not a fan of Raw, I am a fan of some of the athletes. I like Drew McIntyre very much. I think he has a great future. You could do a lot with him. I've always liked Dolph Ziggler. I like Elias. I like Seth Rollins. I like Roman Reigns. I very much like Bray Wyatt. But you've given me no reason. You've given me absolutely no reason to follow their career, root for them, or against them. You've given me no reason. And you don't care either. As a matter of fact, you're giving me the exact opposite reason. Every time you say, maybe I like this person. Oh, you do? Well, we'll give you a reason not to like him. Oh, maybe I hate this person. Really? Well, we'll make him sympathetic so you can't hate him. Why do you fear giving us people that we can boo or cheer? Why do you not want to do that? Why do you have to go back to things like Team Hell No to get a pop from an audience? because what you currently have stinks. And that should be the warning sign to you. What you currently have stinks. Just to finish this up with a non-WWE Raw segment, the word on Nakamura is he missed the Japanese shows. He said he's going to have to be out 2 weeks or more from the dog bite. I feel like we're all dog bit sometimes. I'll be watching SmackDown tonight, and I hope it's not going to take anything to beat Raw. I promise you, it's not going to take anything to beat Raw. Team Hell No is showing up. I don't know who they're fighting, but Team Hell No is showing up. They've already beat Raw. They've already beat them. Because fans who loved that era of wrestling, because back then you were trying, are going to say, yeah, this is what we want. We want more of this stuff. So they're going to like that. And you've already beaten Raw. That's how easy it is. See, here's the deal, though. Derek is still saying, well, the 4th of July and these holiday shows are usually lame. Lame means the storylines aren't furthered because they're afraid somebody might be missing it. Lame means we just put things on hold. We don't do anything dramatic. There's no major plot twists. This was worse than that. This was actually destroying characters. It's not that it was just a nothing show. I could live with that and say, yeah, the holiday, they didn't put a lot of effort into it. It was the opposite of that. It was a show that actively sought to destroy Roman Reigns' credibility as a hero. It sought to destroy Braun Strowman's credibility as a face. It destroyed Kevin Owens' credibility as a heel. Finn Balor has become, it's just a joke now. It's just a joke. I was never a huge Finn Balor fan, but here's a guy who's a good athlete, and now all he does is smile and say, oh, you're stupid. You're bald. You dress funny. I don't know, Mike. It looked to me like it was an active. It just almost looked like someone invaded Raw and said, let's ruin it. That's what it felt like to me.
Right. You know, let's go down the list on who we care about on SmackDown. AJ Styles, Rusev, Lana and Aiden English,
Nakamura,
Charlotte Flair, Nakamura, that's another one. The Miz, of course. I mean, if it's just going to be the Miz and Team Hell No that show up, then SmackDown is going to be Raw, you know?
Yeah. Just of course they're going to.
Three people.
That's what I said. It doesn't take any effort at all because at least there are some people to care about over there. There's nobody. Even our commissioner, Kurt Angle, our general manager, I should say, even our general manager, Kurt Angle, has been made to look like a weak sissy who can't stick up for himself. Is afraid to stick up for himself against Baron Corbin. He's afraid to stick up for himself against Stephanie McMahon. He's looking like a weak little cowardly man who just has to say, I need this job so bad, I'll just do whatever. Since when would an Olympic gold medalist and a former WWE champion be put in that position, Todd, where he's just afraid of everything and everyone?
You're absolutely right there. It's, well, like you said, I remember years ago when Kurt Angle sort of went against the authority thing. He wasn't like that. Not being a wimp or anything. He was like a sort of anti-authority. Now he's like playing this fraidy cat, scaredy cat thing.
Why do we care about any of these people on Raw? I don't know. I don't really care about Nia Jax anymore because Nia Jax is, again, no one understood her character. They said, well, she's going to come in and she's going to be this big bully who, because she's bigger than everybody else, is going to dominate people and say, you're nothing. I'll swat you like a fly. That's a good character. And then you put her up against an underdog like Bayley or Sasha or somebody, and that's good. But no, they didn't like that. So they said, no, we're going to make her the opposite. We're going to make it a sympathetic character who was bullied her whole life because of her weight. And Alexa Bliss is going to play off that and crush her emotionally. She was so crushed emotionally that the week after she beat Alexa Bliss, she went out in the ring and started bullying people again. That's how much she was crushed by it. And then we get to Mickie James, who Alexa Bliss has said, you're old, you're past your prime, you're a grandma, blah, 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 you're irrelevant, I could have beat you in your prime, and I can certainly beat you now, you're a nobody, I'm going to put the pins in your locker room. And Mickie James went from, you think you're, you know, this cool young whatever, well, I got news for you, I'm a veteran, I can kick your ass, to, no, I'm your best friend. For what reason? No one understands the motivation of any of these characters. No one is really sitting there saying, well, what is Alexa Bliss? Who is Nia Jax? Who is Roman Reigns? Who is Bray Wyatt? We need to write as if we're in their head. No one's doing that. So one guy says, this is my vision for Bray Wyatt, and he writes something. And next week somebody else does, and it's totally different. And you're like, okay, well, I don't know. Or here's what I think Nia Jax should be. And then the next week somebody else says, no, here's my interpretation. And we're not even getting any control over what these characters are. So we don't care about them, Mike, because part of it was, you watch like an old sitcom. Or even a modern drama. And you anticipate what the character's going to do. You say, uh-oh, wait till so-and-so finds out about this. I can just imagine the reaction. Or, uh-oh, they did this to so-and-so. Wait till so-and-so finds out. There's going to be hell to pay. I can't wait to see the reaction. We don't have that anymore because you can't anticipate it because they don't know what the character's going to do or be because they're different every week.
Right. I mean, it's almost like, what did they call Seinfeld back in the day? It was a show about nothing, all right? Well, basically what it was is people living their lives. But Seinfeld had a plot hole. The biggest plot hole in Seinfeld is that the majority of the episodes could have been settled by just the one character or another making a phone call. That's it. They're not even doing that well on Raw, where there's a plot hole here or there, and this can be settled by one of the characters doing such and such. They don't even do that well on Raw, you know?
No, look, the horses are out of the barn now. They have destroyed almost the entire roster of Monday Night Raw to the point where I can't think of any good matchups that I'd like to see. I'm looking, saying, who will actually fight Brock Lesnar that I want to see? Nobody. Who will Kevin Owens take on next after the Braun Strowman thing? I don't care. What's next for Braun Strowman? I don't care. Will Bobby Lashley get? I don't care. There's nothing I care about. There's no characters. There's no plot lines. Who will be the next tag team champions? I don't care. Will Ziggler and McIntyre turn on each other? I don't care. When I care more about how they might potentially build up Mojo Rawley than I do about your main people, you're doing something wrong. You're doing something very, very wrong. This is the worst Raw of 2018. But I have a feeling it's not going to get much better. I have a feeling those horses have left the barn. And we may be in for months and months of very bad Raws. With no one to root for, no one to root against, nothing to look forward to, no plot lines that interest us. And the ratings are going to suffer for this. Because for the first time in a very, very long time, I normally don't start watching Raw till about 9 o'clock my time, so I'm an hour behind, but I have it taped. So for first time in a very long time, I not only fast-forwarded through commercials, I fast-forwarded through some parts of matches because I'm just like, I don't care. I just don't care. There's nothing to care about anymore. And that is not the athlete's fault. You have great athletes over there. You have people who are more than willing to put their bodies on the line, more than willing to sell their matches, more than willing to go out there and really give the fans an effort. And you are writing for kindergartners. You're bald. You're short. You dress funny. There's your kindergartner writing. I'm Bailey. I'm 5 years old and I like to hug people. I'm Sasha and I think I'm the boss. That's 5-year-olds. That's not adults. That's not athletes. That's not people seeking to better their career. That's 5-year-olds bickering in a school playground. Oh, here comes the big bully on the block, Braun Strowman. Everybody run and hide behind the monkey bars. Oop, they caught one. He caught one of them. That's what we're looking at. Oh, he tipped me over in a porta potty because that's juvenile humor. Oh, let's put on wigs and pretend we're the other people because that's juvenile humor. That's all you got. That's all you got on Raw now is juvenile nonsense. And you wonder why people don't want to come to the WWE? You wonder why people are turning down contracts saying, I ain't coming to that circus? Come on. You lose all your credibility. Let's just hope nobody gets tipped over in a porta potty tonight on SmackDown. Mike, I know your grade is incomplete, so I'm going to go to Todd. Todd, what is your grade on this?
Oh, boy. I'm going to give a porta potty grade.
Well, that's basically the same thing I said, but look, I'm in all honesty, look, this is an F. This is a complete F. It's a total failure. It's a total failure. It did absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, it actually denigrated the product. It not only did not help your product, it denigrated your product. And any show that actually makes your product worse than it was the week before and gives you nothing to look forward to for the week ahead has to be an F. It has to be. It's a total failure on all fronts. And, folks, we're going to get more of these Dr. Shelby things. This isn't just the end of this. They're going to give us this every week now, one or two little spots with Bailey and Dr. Shelby and Sasha. Won't that be fun? And I'm sure Braun Strowman's going to terrorize Kevin Owens even more. Won't that be fun? And I'm sure Baron Corbin and Finn Balor will get into a pissing contest about who's balder, who's shorter again. Won't that be fun? We got a lot to look forward to, don't we? Inexcusable. We'll be back on Friday with the Monday Night Raw report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.